And the part of the chapter that I'd like to focus on is there at the very end where the Bible reads in verse 23, "And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria." Now the subject this morning is cursed or blessed children. Children who are either cursed or blessed. Here is an example of some children in the Bible who were cursed. Now, obviously, the number 42 is significant here because 42 was a number that was associated with Elijah. Elijah prayed that it might not rain upon the earth, and it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months, which is 42 months, which is an important number also for the end times when we think of the 42 months that the two witnesses will prophesy, etc., etc. And so Elisha carries the mantle of Elijah, continuing the ministry of Elijah. And when he's mocked and made fun of by these young rebellious children, he curses them in the name of the Lord, and God sends two she-bears. It's not like Elisha just had some kind of a voodoo power where he can conjure up bears to come. You know, he cursed them in the name of the Lord, and because they were cursed, God sent these two she-bears to tear up these children. And many of them escaped, but it says that the bears tear 42 children of them. Now, I don't know if all of those 42 died, but I'm sure that many of them did die if they were torn of these bears. Now, we don't know exactly how old these children were, but the Bible does say that they were little children. So these are not fully grown teenagers or anything like that. These are children. And the reason that I show you this story is just to show you that it's very possible for even children to be cursed. And the Bible has many examples of cursed children and blessed children. Now, first of all, as we get into this, let me just explain to you the fact that a very young child, as in a baby or a little toddler or something like that, is innocent according to the Bible. Now go, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. And let's study this concept in the Bible, starting in Romans chapter 7. There are many verses. I'm not going to turn to them for sake of time. You've probably heard some of them that talk about the fact that if a baby dies in its mother's womb, or if a very young child dies, that it automatically goes to heaven. There are a lot of scriptures that we could prove that with from the book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Psalms, also in the life of David, where his young 7-day-old child died, and he said, you know, the child cannot come to me, but I will go to the child, etc. And it talks about young babies and toddlers going to heaven regardless. Okay, so why is that? And the answer is because they are innocent at that age. Now, if you would, look at Romans chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible reads, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once." And that's what I want to point out to you there. "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." So Paul here is explaining that at one point he was alive, but then he says the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to put all this together and then it's all going to make sense once you see all of it together side by side. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened," quickened means brought to life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. So according to the Bible, we were all dead before we got saved, right? And then when we got saved, that's when we were quickened or brought to life or resurrected. So if we compare Romans 7 and Ephesians 2, we see that, you know, there was a time once without the law when we were alive. Then the commandment came, sin revived, and we died. Then when we believe on Jesus Christ, we're resurrected, okay? So a baby in its mother's womb, a newborn baby, a little small toddler, is alive. They're innocent, okay? But then once they get to the age where they determine the difference between right and wrong and they understand the difference, then they become sinful in the sight of God when they do wrong and their sins are imputed unto them. And then that's when they die spiritually. They die spiritually. And then if they believe on Jesus Christ, then they are quickened, brought back to life. Now, this is what some people will refer to. And if you would turn back to Genesis 2, this is what some people will refer to as the age of accountability. They'll say, you know, there's a certain age where you reach accountability in the sight of God. And before that, you get a free pass into heaven. You say, well, why would they get a free pass? Because they're not guilty in the sight of God at that point. They're innocent, okay? Now, people will ask, well, what is that age where they go from being innocent to being guilty? You know, where the commandment comes and they understand what lust is, they understand what right and wrong is, and they die spiritually. Well, I think this is the best way to demonstrate it. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, is he saying if you eat of the fruit, you'll eventually die? No, he says in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Because I've heard so many people say, well, because Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, that's why they eventually died 900 years later or whatever. No, no, no. What it's saying is that in the day that they eat of it, they shall surely die. Now look at verse 25. It says, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Flip over to Genesis 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, this is the devil lying to her, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Abraham and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So notice that the Bible makes a real big deal about this. It mentions it over. It mentions in chapter 2, hey, they're both naked. They're not ashamed. But it makes a point that the immediate result, the moment that they eat of the forbidden fruit, the first thing that happens is what? They know that they're naked. They're ashamed. They hide themselves. They make themselves an apron of fig leaves and try to cover up. And God, that's how he knows that they've eaten of it. Obviously, God knows everything, but humanly speaking, he converses with man on his level, and he says, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of the which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? That's how he knew that they'd eaten of it. And what was the tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, what we can learn from this is that when a person has the knowledge of good and evil, they will basically realize that they're naked and be ashamed of being naked. Now, let me ask this. Does a baby realize they're naked?
No.
Are they ashamed of being naked? How about a toddler? You know, there are toddlers running around my house naked frequently because of the fact that, you know, they don't know any better. And you have to say, hey, go put some clothes on. And they just come out, you know, you're like, whoa, what are you doing? Get some clothes on. But, you know, they get to a certain age where all of a sudden they become aware of that and they start to cover themselves and they start to be ashamed of being naked in front of other people. They don't want to take a bath with their sibling anymore and they want to cover up and so forth. Now, that age could be different from child to child, but I believe that that's a good indicator, just like God looked at that and said, okay, you have the knowledge of good and evil now. That's a pretty good rule of thumb. That's a pretty good indicator for understanding when a child reaches that age where they're accountable in the sight of God, because now they know good from evil. Now, how old is that? Let's get some opinions here. How old is that from people who have lots of kids? When do they start actually worrying about the fact that they're naked? 4, 5, 6, you know, would probably be the answer that you get, depending on the child, right? 4, 5, 6 years old. I mean, look, a 7, 8, 9 year old, they know they're naked. There's no question, right? But there's a range there of probably 4, 5, 6. So in my opinion, it's going to be different with every child depending on their development. Obviously, a child, for example, who's mentally disabled and has, for example, Down syndrome, you know, that's going to obviously prolong their process of development, and it's going to be older for them. But I'm saying that, you know, it's not just that all children are innocent even when they're 10 years old, even when they're 12 years old, even when they're 14 years old. That is false. In fact, there's this lying false teaching out there that says, oh, age 20 is the age of accountability. You know, that's just madness. It's insanity to say that. I mean, like, you don't know right from wrong when you're 19. You know, it's just people misusing and misunderstanding and misapplying the Word of God because they're not using it skillfully, because they're a babe, if they're even saved, to come up with such a bizarre teaching. But we know that a little tiny baby is innocent. We know that they're not murdering and committing adultery and stealing and, you know, and knowingly doing any of these things. But we also know that when we look at that 10-year-old, they know what they're doing. You know, they know what's right and what's wrong. Now, who here got saved at a very young age, a very young age? I got saved when I was 6 years old. How old were you when you got saved?
Seven, nine, ten, eight, five.
Yeah, so very young age. And I've known of those who got saved even at the age of 4. You know, I believe that Pastor Roger Jimenez is like that, where he got saved at a really young age. I got saved when I was 6 years old. And, you know, others 7, 8, 9. So, you know, children at that age are able to understand the gospel. Now, in the story that we read, we don't know how old these children were, but we know, and if you would flip over to Mark chapter 9, we know that those children were little children, meaning that they were not fully grown. They're not teenagers that are, you know, 17 years old or something. I mean, they were, the Bible says little, little children. Also, in order for these two bears to be able to chase down and tear 42 of them, that shows you that they were younger kids. Because of the fact that if they were all big kids, 14, 15 years old, they would have all been running away and some of them would have been torn, but not 42 of them. So they were little children. Now, a lot of people are just blown away by that and just say, you know, I just can't believe that God would allow a little child to be cursed like that. I mean, I just think that children just get a pass. But let me tell you something. There are children today in 2015, even in elementary school, that are wicked in the sight of God. And we hear about things, don't we, in our twisted culture that we're living in, where you'll have little kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, that are literally committing murder, that are literally, you know, committing abuse on those of the opposite gender. You know, I don't like to use terms that would defile the young minds, but just that will commit filthy acts even at a very young age, vile affections even at a very young age. And some people will try to even say, well, you know, what about this 12-year-old sodomite? You know, how can they be reprobate in the sight of God? Or how could they have hardened their heart to God? They're just a kid. They must have been born that way. No, I'm here to tell you that even a 12-year-old child can become hardened and sick and reprobate and evil in the sight of God. Remember when you were in school? Remember some of the evil reprobates that you went to school with? Whether in public school or Christian school, there are some kids that are evil and malicious and love violence and perverted even at a young age. And the Bible uses the term in 2 Peter chapter 2, cursed children. Yep. cursed children, and talks about how they grow up to be evil people and false prophets and having eyes full of adultery and so forth. It starts as a child. Look at Mark chapter 9. I'm going to show you another example in the Bible of a cursed child. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. So here is a young man who is possessed with a devil. And he's foaming at the mouth and tearing and falling down and throwing himself in the fire and all these things. But watch what Jesus asked in verse 19. He answered them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And watch this. And he said, of a child. So even though this is a young man at the time, he said, this has been going on since he was a child. He was possessed with the devil. And oft times it casteth him into the fire, verse 22, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 21. And obviously Jesus had been doing that prayer and fasting in order to be able to perform this miracle of casting out the devil out of this young man. But we see here examples of cursed children. Children that God sees fit to destroy with she-bears out of the wood. Children who are actually possessed with devils even at a young age. Look at more wickedness found in a child. 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 1. We see Manasseh, who is the son of the son of Hezekiah, who was actually a godly man. He was a godly king. And Manasseh, the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 21, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So here's a young man of only 12 years old, and he starts right in with doing evil in the sight of the Lord. It says in verse 3, for he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of the which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. I wonder how many 12-year-olds today are dealing with wizards and dealing with familiar and unclean spirits. You know, we have children today that are even at a young age messing around with Harry Potter and Ouija boards and casting spells and playing around with witchcraft and the occult. And we see that that's how things started with this evil young man. And it says in verse 7, he set up a graven image in the grove that he had made in the house of the which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Now, some would argue and say, well, yeah, he started reigning when he's 12, and he reigned 55 years. He didn't start doing the evil when he was 12. You know, he did that stuff later. That was after he grew up. But that's false, because when kings in the Bible started out doing good, the Bible will tell us that. Even if they did good just for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, the Bible will spell that out and say, hey, he did right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But then in the third year of his reign, you know, then he began to do evil. I mean, there are examples of that. No, this guy, it says, no, he's 12 years old when he started to reign and he did evil. He started right in with doing wickedness and evil. That was the choice that he made. And let me tell you something. A child of 12 years old has the capability to choose between doing right and doing evil. And if you're a young child that's listening to the sound of my voice this morning, I want you to understand that you have the choice to do that which is right or that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And just because your dad is Hezekiah, and just because your mother is Hephzibah, you know, that doesn't mean that you're going to do right in the sight of the Lord. You need to make that decision for yourself that you will serve the Lord. And don't think that you can play around with sin and mess around with evil spirits and all these things and not have any consequences and think, oh, God's just going to give me a free pass because I'm a child. No, he's not going to give you a free pass. The Bible says even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And God is looking down at every child today and he weighs their actions. And he does not give them a free pass to just live however they want when they're 8 and 9. And they just think, well, as long as I don't get in trouble with mom and dad, it's fine. Because you know what? God realizes I'm a little kid. No, God expects you at whatever age you are to be accountable for the teaching that you've heard, for the Bible preaching that you've heard, and to make a decision to do right in the sight of the Lord and not to do evil. The Bible says, unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. The children that grow up in Faithful Word Baptist Church, God will hold them to a higher standard than a child who's growing up in some atheist home somewhere. To a higher standard than a child who's growing up in some liberal watered down church somewhere. No, God expects you when you hear the word of God to believe it and do it. God expects you to respect the prophet of God, to respect the word of God, to respect and honor your mother and father. These are things that God demands of children, and they don't get a free pass just for being a child. Yeah. God looks down at a 12-year-old who's messing around with witchcraft. You know, the first thing he did was probably not to make his son pass through the fire. He probably didn't have a son when he's 12 years old. But I wonder if the first thing he did was start messing around with witchcraft. That could have been step one. It's mentioned early in the passage, messing with familiar spirits, evil spirits, witchcraft. Look, there are things in this world that are demonic. They're demonic. Ouija boards are demonic. Harry Potter is demonic. Witchcraft, magic, spells are demonic. And let me tell you something. The music of bands like the band that we talked about last Sunday, that band Eagles of Death Metal, that's a demonic band. They have their song. I looked up their song that they were singing that night when that shooting happened. And the song was called Kiss the Devil. And it said, I love the devil. The first lyrics are, you know, I love the devil and I will sing his song. I'm going to kiss the devil on his tongue. I mean, this is the filth and satanic music that I guarantee you kids are listening to. I guarantee you that everybody who listens to that band isn't 18 years or older. No, I guarantee you there are children today that are listening to that on their headphones. And probably after this shooting in Paris, it probably just gave that band more publicity. And people are like, oh, I'm going to look into this band, Queers of the Stone Age. Queers of the Stone Age. And I'm going to look into Eagles of Death Metal. Hey, this song Kiss the Devil is pretty cool. No, there's nothing cool about the devil. There's nothing cool about death. There's nothing cool about Satan. No, we need to understand that even a child can be demon-possessed, the Bible says. And when you bring this kind of demonic stuff into your home, and you bring these kind of demonic tunes and demonic songs and demonic games and books and whatever, you know what? You're inviting in the unclean spirits. And I'm not trying to sound like a crazy person this morning, but you know what? Unclean spirits. Yeah, it's real. There really is spiritual wickedness in high places. There really are angels and demons. It's biblical. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. I wonder who inhabits the music of of the Eagles of Death Metal or whoever the band. You know, you're bringing in a wrong spirit. And then you could even have a child who is possessed. I mean, you could even have a child who's cursed by God when they become wicked in the sight of the Lord. Now, let's flip over to the positive side of the coin. You're there in 2 Kings. We can just go one page over, in fact, and see an example of a blessed child. So we had the cursed children, right? Who were the cursed children in the Bible? Number one, the children who mocked the man of God. They mocked. You know, these are children who come to church. They're not taking the preaching seriously. They're not listening to the word of God. It's all a big game to them. It's a joke to them. And God decided to make an example to show children of all generations that he's not a joke and his word's not a joke and preaching's not a joke. Amen. You know, some people don't know when to stop joking around. Now, I'm here to tell you, I like to joke around. I like to have fun and be merry and joyful. But you know what? There's a time to joke and a time to get serious. Yep. It's a time to play games and a time to get to work. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And I'm here to tell you that when you come to church and you've got the Bible in your hand and the Word of God's being preached about a serious subject, you know, you kids need to get serious and realize that your life depends on what you do with this preaching, kids. Your life depends on it. Hey, is every kid listening to me? Your life depends on it. You can end your life in failure and cursing, or you can end your life in prosperity and good success, as God told Joshua, if he would hearken unto the word of God and meditate upon his word day and night. Life's not a game. Amen. This isn't a joke. And you only get one life, and if you screw it up, it's screwed up. There's no, you don't just insert another quarter and do it again. Right. You know, this isn't Hinduism where you're like a kid in an arcade with a big bag of quarters. That's Hinduism. You know, you just keep giving another shot, giving another shot. No, it's one shot. These kids didn't get another chance at life. They screwed it up and they didn't get another chance. Now, some people are so foolish that they would ask the question,
well, what about all the other kids who mocked the man of God and didn't get torn up by bears? What about that?
Some would ask such a foolish question as,
well, what about all the other Sodomites? You know, why did God only rain fire on that one city? You know, why didn't he rain it on whatever the parade?
But these questions are the questions of a fool, because the Bible teaches that God will make examples. See, the Bible says of Sodom and Gomorrah that they were set forth for an example to those who after should live ungodly. And he said that they're an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. See, I believe that God actually rained literal hellfire on Sodom as an example. Why? So that we could look at something tangible and understand the penalty of hell. See, hell is the punishment that awaits the unsaved, the wicked and ungodly of this world. Hell is there for them. And so he doesn't have to physically rain fire and brimstone. He doesn't have to send bears to tear up every wicked child. Why? Because hell awaits. And these are just examples for our benefit where we can look at them and see, hey, this is how God feels about it. You know, God doesn't kill every person who lies about the money that they gave to church. He just did that to Ananias and Sapphira as a what? As an example.
Hey, well, what about all the people who did the same thing and didn't die?
But here's the thing, they still got punished. God's still gonna judge. But he sometimes does these really open, public, kind of dramatic examples for our benefit. And you know what the wise person does when they see that? When the wise person sees what Onan did, for example, and says, whoa, God doesn't like that. I'm not gonna do that. That's what a wise person, a fool says,
what about all the people who did that and there was no consequence?
But see, that's a fool, isn't it? Because they don't learn from the example. They don't understand what God's doing, that he makes one example, and we're supposed to all learn from that one example. He doesn't just always, every time someone does wrong, they just drop like flies. They're just bare. Every time a kid, you know, gets wicked on the public school, just a bear comes up, you know, it's just right then and there. Why? Because if that happened, people wouldn't have to have any faith, would they? If everything just received an instant punishment. And every time you did something good, you do something good, you know, you help out a poor person, here's a bag of groceries, and then it's just like, ding, $100 bill appears in your hand. Wow, God, you know, God's repaying me. Because whoso giveth unto the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and will be repaid. So just ding, $100 bill, you know, would we need any faith? No, so God makes examples, and then the rest of us are supposed to learn from those examples and just understand based on faith in the Word of God that this is what God does not want us to do, and this is what God does want us to do. Just like, you know, where I brought out the fact of, hey, people shouldn't have been at that wicked satanic concert because they ended up dying. And I never, and you know, the media lied and said that I said they deserve to die. I never said any such thing. I don't think people deserve to die for going to that concert. But you know what? If you go to that concert, you might die. Why? Because you're not in the will of God and you're under the curse of God. Anybody who's going to a concert and singing I Love the Devil is going to be cursed. It's not that I want them to be cursed. It's just a fact. They're cursed.
But what about all the death metal concerts where nobody died?
But you're being a fool. You're not taking the warning. You're not taking the example. You just think that you can just do whatever and there's no consequences. Well, you know what? You might just get through your whole life as an unsaved person and never have any consequence for anything that you do and then just die and go to hell then because you didn't listen to the warning. That's life. Let's look at some blessed children in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And let me point out, he had a wicked father. His father, Amon, was a wicked king. So this guy didn't even have the luxury of having a godly father role model. His father was wicked in the sight of the Lord, Amon. And it says that he was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, look, even an 8-year-old, God looks down and said he did right. He did what was right, even though his dad was not doing what was right. Think about that. How many kids today might just say, well, my dad's doing it, so I'm going to do it too. No, even if your dad's ungodly, you can still do right. You can still do right in the sight of the Lord. And this young man, Josiah, became literally the greatest by some measurements. He was the greatest king of the nation of Judah. He was the greatest. I mean, in some ways, he was even better than David in some regards. I mean, this guy was a great, great man. And he started when he's 8 years old. And he made a decision as an 8-year-old boy. I am going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. That should be a powerful truth unto every young child today. Who's 8 years old today? Put up your hand if you're 8 years old. Who's 9 years old? All right, so you're already, yeah, you should have been starting this a year ago. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, 8 years old, nine. We have all, did you see all the 8-year-old hands that went up? And those children need to make the same decision that Josiah made, to do right in the sight of the Lord. It said in verse 2, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which are in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Flip over, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we see that Josiah, when he's 8 years old, he does right in the sight of the Lord. And then when he's 18, he rebuilds the house of the Lord. He repairs the breaches thereof. He finds a copy of the Word of God that's still intact, and he causes it to be read, and he starts making changes and so forth. But it all started when he's 8, he made that decision to follow the Lord and to serve Him. Every child here needs to realize that now is the day of salvation if you're not saved. If you're listening to my voice and you have not made a personal decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, if you have not confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, if you're a child today, you need to today decide, you know what, I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you understand what that means, you better get saved before it's too late. Now is the day. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And let's say you're a young child listening to me and you're already saved. You already believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've already called upon Him and put all of your faith and trust in Him as your only way to heaven. But you today are not taking the Bible seriously. You're not taking church seriously. You come to church and you want to color and fool around instead of listening, learning. You're not turning to the Scriptures. When the Bible is being preached, look, if you're old enough to know how to read, you ought to be turning to the Scriptures. I thank God for a mom and a dad that sat next to me in church my whole life, and if it was singing time and I didn't get out the hymnal and start singing, I was in trouble. I can remember my dad sternly rebuking me and telling me that I needed to sing these songs, and you need to turn in the songbook. You know, instead of just... No, I mean, you know, be a part of the service. Hey, we don't have the kids in here because we like the noise they make. We don't have the kids in here for our health. We have the kids in here so that they can participate in the service. From the youngest possible age, want them here participating. See, even literally, even my 18-month-old sings the songs. You know, he doesn't open the songbook or anything like that. And he's not really necessarily hitting the right tune, but he's trying to sing something. Some of them even start song leading at that age. Even at that age, right? You know, we need to teach our children that when we sing the song, they turn in the songbook and they sing out from the heart and they participate in the singing. And that when it's time for the Bible to be read, that they turn to the chapter and follow along and not zone out and look around the room. No, they open their Bible and they follow along with that chapter. And when the pastor says, hey, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, they need to be finding 2 Timothy chapter 3 and turn into that scripture in their Bible. If I don't have a Bible, on the shelf, there are Bibles back there. Grab a Bible, turn to the scripture. Look, you got to start now. You think that some magical switch is going to happen when you turn 18? Well, yeah, Josiah, when he turned 18, you know, he just started fixing up the house of God. No. Start when he's 8. What you do when you're 8 determines what you do when you're 18, is what we can learn from Josiah. Do right when you're 8, you'll build the house of God when you're 18. Do wrong when you're 12, and you're going to be doing wicked things for decades to come. Because what you do as a child is setting your habits. You got to learn to read the Bible now. Look, I believe, and I understand, you know, I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm a sinful person just like everybody else. I'm a human being. But I'll tell you what, whatever I've been allowed by God to achieve, by the grace of God, let me tell you something, I believe it's because of things I did when I was a kid. I believe that God blessed me for seeking Him as a child, because I can, you know, even though I did a lot of wrong things and so forth, you know, I can honestly say that when I was a child, I loved the Lord. I can honestly say that when I was 6 years old, I loved the Lord from my heart. I read the Bible on my own. I wanted to see people saved. I loved singing the hymns. You know, you got to get that when you're a kid. You know, have that faith of a little child. Don't think, oh, later. No, now. Start now. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3. And as we do, let me just point out to you that young man that was demon-possessed, how long has he been afflicted by this devil? And he said, of a child. Okay, now look at the similar language here in 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is through faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. And it's the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith. And he said, Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scripture. I mean, one was demon-possessed from a child. Here's one that knew the Scriptures from a child. And he was blessed, a blessed child. Flip over to Mark chapter 10 and let's see other blessed children. Mark chapter 10. So far we had the cursed children of God's word, torn up by she-bears of the wood. We saw a cursed child in the person of Manasseh at 12 years old, who was already wicked in the sight of God. We saw a cursed child in Mark chapter 9 that was actually possessed of a devil. Then we saw some blessed children. King Josiah, at age 8, at age 18, he loved God. He served God. Then we saw Timothy, another blessed child, because he knew the scriptures from a child. Look at the last example of blessed children, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him. Now, if we were to look at this in a parallel passage, it actually says they brought infants to him. Infants, meaning a child that's so young that they have not yet the ability to walk. That's what an infant is, the technical definition. They can't walk. They brought young children to him. We know from the other gospel that they were actually infants. That's how young they were. That he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, just picture the story here. People are bringing their very young children, infants, toddlers, little kids. They're bringing them to Jesus because they want Jesus to touch them. They want Jesus to put his hand on them and bless them. The disciples rebuke them. Why? Because the disciples thought this is a waste of Jesus' time. I mean, there are throngs of people that want to hear Jesus, great crowds who want to hear Jesus, all the multitudes to preach to, all the cities to go to. They thought this was a waste of time. And Jesus, it says, was a little bit displeased. No, he was much displeased. It made Jesus very upset that people had this attitude of, hey, these kids aren't ready. They're too young. What were some of the objections you think? Oh, these kids are too young to even understand what he's preaching anyway. They don't even know the language. It's a baby. They don't know what he's taught. His doctrine is so deep, we can't even always understand it. Think a little toddler is going to understand it? But you know what, though? They were still blessed just by being there. Just by being touched by Jesus. I mean, remember, virtue went out of him. Some people, when they touched him, they were healed of their sicknesses. And Jesus touched these children and blessed them. These are blessed children in the Bible. You see, even if children are not old enough in our mind, you know, to understand what's being preached, maybe they're just a baby or a toddler, you know, just by having them in church, they're actually being touched by Jesus. Because why? They're hearing the word of God. Oh, it goes over their head, but they're still being touched. And the Bible teaches that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's right there in the midst. And stop and think about the fact that little children, little babies that are being brought to church are being blessed by being in church. Whether you think they're getting anything out of it or not, they are. And I've known of so many people who they have their first children. Maybe they have one, maybe they have two. And then when the children get a certain age, they say, you know, now that my children are older, I really want to make sure and get them in Sunday school or get them in church so that they could start learning about Jesus and learn. I want them to grow up and learn the Bible. But wait a minute, that should have started during pregnancy. That should have started as a newborn. You know, I mean, that should start right away. And obviously when, you know, you don't have to like give birth and come to church 2 hours later. Obviously, you have to recover a little bit. But I'm saying, you know, after you've recovered from childbirth, get those babies in church. Let them be touched by Jesus. Well, Jesus isn't physically here. He's not going to touch them. Yeah, but you know what? He's with us in spirit. And you know what? His word will touch them. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs will touch them. And we need to have an attitude that is in line with Christ's attitude when it comes to children, understanding that it's never too early to start introducing them to Jesus. It's never too early to get them in the house of God. It's never too early for them to know the Holy Scriptures. Now, I'm sure that every parent here today, and we have many parents here in our church, we've got more families with little kids in this church than I've ever seen in any church this size. And I'm sure that every parent here that listens to this sermon is thinking to themselves, I don't want my child to be a cursed child. No one wants their child to be tore up by a she-bear. No one wants their child to be demon-possessed. No one wants their child to be wicked in the sight of the Lord, even at age 12, infuriating God. No one wants that, do they? And everyone here says, I want my child to be a Timothy. I want my child to be a Josiah. You know, I want my child to be blessed by God, blessed by Jesus. Then you know what? How do you get them blessed? You bring them to Jesus. You bring them to the house of God. How do you get them blessed? From a child, they know the Holy Scriptures. You start teaching them the Bible, reading them the Bible from the youngest age. That's how they get blessed. And how do we avoid the curse? Stay away from that which is demonic. Yeah, right. Do not bring into your home that which is demonic. Do not expose them to that which is devilish and evil and corrupt and occult. And be an example unto them. Teach them the Bible. Get them in church. Because children can be cursed or blessed. It's not just, oh, well, you know what? Every child gets a free pass. Now, I truly believe that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. I believe that. You know, and I don't believe that God wants any child to be cursed either. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come unto repentance. So it's not that God wants to curse children, but it's just that if they get to a point where they get so wicked, he will curse them. And you say, well, I don't believe God's like that. Well, then you know what? You don't believe in the God of the Bible, because we just saw it, the first scripture we looked at. Amen. We saw those she-bears. That wasn't a coincidence. Wow, that was an amazing coincidence. He just cursed these children, and then a few minutes later, two she-bears come and start ripping them up. No, it's not a coincidence. And who controlled that? Was that the devil? Nope, that was God. So we need to understand the seriousness of our actions as parents. And every child who's here needs to understand the seriousness of your childhood. The things that you learn as a child, the habits that you set as a child, they will, even a scientist will tell you, what you eat as a child is going to determine your health for your whole life. Whether you are lazy or whether you're hardworking as a child, that'll determine your health for the rest of your life. You'll set certain parameters about your health. Your brain. I mean, here's the thing. You start learning music as a child, you'll be musical your whole life. You never do music as a child, you know, you're going to be somebody who's, you know, 40 years old and can't carry a tune in a bucket. Why? It's just because what you do as a child will set the rest of your life. Take it seriously. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for the blessings that you've given us. Especially the children that you've blessed us with. Help us to be good stewards of those children, Lord. And help us all at this church to have blessed children and none of our children to be cursed. And in your name we pray, amen.